Good afternoon, everyone. Here we are on a nice Thursday afternoon, the 11th of November 2021, and I'm sat here on the sunny Isle of Wight in our office with one of our very, very talented young paralegal stroke work experience lawyer's name is Samuel Killoran. Samuel, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm good, thank you.
Good, good, good. So I thought that what would be a really useful thing is to, for our listeners, to put you to the test just slightly on certain things that you're studying at the moment. And I think it will be useful for people that have been keeping on some of our podcasts that specifically relate to social media and defamation and harassment, that maybe we could touch a little bit more on the defences aspect, because it does seem to be one of the biggest questions that we've got. Now, I know that this is, you've got a lot of interest in this area of law, haven't you?
Yes, I do. I find it very interesting. It's something that's become more and more prevalent with social media, especially when people get disgruntled and in the spur of the moment, they just go on a rant on social media, not necessarily thinking first before
Absolutely.
They do it.
Now, what we've spoke about before is, of course, the different examples of what someone may say online, and we've given examples, and we won't go too much into that. If you'll have to look back through our previous podcast to get some more information on that, but it certainly does seem to be that people are saying things that are specifically related to someone either that they know or someone that is, in their view, doing something or has behaved in a manner that they don't agree with. But it still does not make that acceptable behaviour, does it?
No, it does not make it acceptable. I think online people can feel as though they're anonymous and they behave in ways which maybe they wouldn't behave in if they were face-to-face or in public.
Yeah, and what they tend to do, certainly when we send one of our relatively scary letters out, is we tend to get a response that says, "What, Sam? What is it they normally say?" Not specifically, but as an overall thing, they try and...
As an overall, they tend to go along the lines of what they're saying is true,
yep,
or is at least an honest opinion that they hold.
Right, and what they've done to be able to get those two key points in is they've gone straight online on and searched something in there in the search engine to say, you know, what's an excuse, you know, how can you defend yourself against defamation? And it usually comes up with a list of things that could constitute a defence to a defamatory remark or statement that's been made. And you just touched on two. So you've mentioned about truth. Now, let me just ask you a little bit more about this. What does that mean, truth? Because I think that seems very broad, but I know that it's really not the case. It's not broad. It has to be something quite specific, doesn't it?
Yes, specifically, it has to be substantially true, which sort of means that it doesn't, not every single word literally needs to be true, but as a whole, the statement needs to be true.
Mm-hmm. And there will be a lot of tests that, if anything ever sadly did result in court proceedings commencing, then that test of something being substantially true will be really looked at in depth. And of course, there's a lot of case law to support that. Now, we're not going to go into specific detail. I don't want you going pale and cross-eyed and trying to sort of quickly go back through all of your case law studies that you've been doing on the defence of truth. But arguably, it has to be substantially true. And a lot of people just say, well, I thought it was true. Now, that's a contradiction in itself, because I thought it was true suggests that it almost seems like that's a crossover with honest opinion.
Yeah, of course, if you use words such as thought or think, you are entering the realms of honest opinion, which that defence in itself has several conditions that need to be satisfied by the court. You have, it has to be a statement of honest opinion. You have to sort of specify in at least general terms where you're getting, what you're basing that opinion on, and it must be reasonable to hold that opinion.
Okay. The thing is I find all of this very vague still, because we're saying things like reasonable to hold that opinion. Now, I don't know whether you can touch on that anymore, but what are your thoughts on that? What do they mean by reasonable? How can they say something, you know, it's reasonable to hold such an opinion that really, 9 times out of 10, certainly within the phone calls that we get on a daily basis and clients that instruct us, some of the stuff that's being said is just outrageous. I mean, it's really offensive what's being said. So to say someone's reasonable in holding that opinion, what do you think it means?
I'd say it means whether a normal person, another person of the public, looking at the information which that opinion is based on, would hold the same opinion based on that information.
Okay. Now that makes sense. Yeah. No. Okay. When you look at it like that, now this is one of the things that we have to consider. Those that are listening, when we get a phone call in and someone inquires, and we don't charge to have that initial consultation, so we'll chat to anyone, and you know, okay, if it takes half an hour, 45 minutes. You know, our time, and you know, we'll give you that time, and you'll tend to find that what we're actually thinking, every single word that you say to us, we're thinking, what is the other side going to say when they respond? What is it that they're going to use? And we can say, oh, they're going to use this as an excuse and that as an excuse, but legally speaking, there are defences. Now, what other defences have you got then, Santa? You've mentioned honest opinion, you've mentioned truth. We know that's not all of the potential defences that a defendant can rely on, is it?
No, but there are other... It depends on who the defendant is. We also have absolute privilege and qualified privilege, so news outlets can accurately report cases in a public court hearing.
Yep. Now, let's just pause there a second then. So, when we speak of a defendant, it's very easy to categorise the defendant as being a person that is responding to statements that a company or an individual has made on social media or have made published these posts or articles themselves. So note, I've just said about responding, because you could rub someone up the wrong way and then they start responding and saying all of these things to your social media post, or if you're on a website, it could be an article that you published and you've allowed for comments to be below. But it could also be that for no reason that you can see, this person has just started a hate campaign against you. They've just taken this course of harassment indeed. You know, that's under that same umbrella as well. But it could be that it's the press. It could be that there's a local newspaper, or it could be a national newspaper. And what Samuel's saying there is, of course, that there is certain points of privilege there that can be considered. Now, that, I would say, goes beyond the scope of this podcast today. So just talk us through some more, Sam. What other defences have we got for the purposes of this podcast?
Well, if someone was to receive a letter of claim alleging that what they've done is defamatory, they could, it's sort of more of a partial defence really. They could make an offer to make an amends and apologise if they're going to hold their hands up, and that will it could reduce the liability.
Yes,
it's
that makes sense.
Of a partial defence.
Okay. Now, what about in the public interest?
In the public interest, that is...
Because that's one that a lot of people that are alleging really awful, certain allegations such as paedophilia, paedophiles and all of these sort of terms that are used to really discredit someone's character. A lot of the defences that come through from that is that not only was it honest opinion based on certain things that they either have witnessed or heard in some form of a hearsay way, but they say that it was the reason why they were publishing certain things, you know, was in the public interest. So tell me a bit more about that. What does that mean?
Well, it's a defence that often is used by media outlets with any sort of claim against them. It used to be known as the Reynolds defence, but then the 2013 Act got rid of abolished the Reynolds defence and replaced it with what is Section 4, publication on the matter of public interest.
Yeah. Okay. Now that's really good. So thank you for that. I think, you know, when we start going through all of these defences and thoughts that we've got in our head, now we're trying to keep this simple. We don't want to go into too much detail and start citing cases and certain judgments, you know, certain decisions that are being made specifically to the defences and why that decision was made. But what I will say, in a really sort of basic sense, those that are listening, I mean, do take yourself through the legislation. Sam, tell us, what's the legislation that that covers defamation in the UK?
Well, we have the 2013 Act, which will give you the defences to defamation.
Yep. And this is as a whole as well. So the Defamation Act will not only walk you through the defences, but it will walk you through, you know, points on serious harm, what constitutes defamation in the UK. It's a good starting point, a starting block for you before you consider even picking up the phone and speaking to us or sending us an email to info@laudit.co.uk. It's certainly worthwhile, not just going onto Google and reading random articles. You know, take yourself direct to the legislation. It's very easy to follow, and it might be able to answer certain points for you, or it'll allow you to have a more in-depth conversation with us or settle your mind a little bit at times when certain things are happening to you, or you may be the one that has received a letter, and it could be not from a solicitor. It could be direct from that person that is accusing you of being defamatory. You pulled yourself back and forth, haven't you, through the Defamation Act when you've done your studies, Sam, but there are some other sources as well that you've used. I know Practical Law is one that certain people like to go to. Have you got any other sort of tips for people that you've used that's a really good point, other than some of our articles on laudit.co.uk? You see, Sam's pause that he's had there is because when you go to the legislation, it is, you know, giving you the information that you need as a starting point to know what the have a little bit more understanding about defamation in a basic sense. You know, case law, you know, certainly read some of the new case laws, these cases, sorry, that have come through. They'll be really, really important in years to come as we develop through and with the law. Okay, Sam, anything more to say when it comes to the defences?
No, I think that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, certainly on a basic sense. And, you know, I really want to thank you for listening. If you do want to pick up the phone and have a more detailed chat with us about these things, please do so. Call us on 02380 235 979, and we'll be happy to chat. It's very sad to have to speak to, you know, people like us when you're having to deal with some awful situations like this, but you might find that we can settle your mind or certainly point you in the right direction. So don't hesitate to pick up the phone or email us. As I say, that's info@laudit.co.uk. Thank you very much, Mr. Killoran. I really appreciate you joining me today, and thanks for listening, everyone. Take care.